Well, it's time now to catch up with the team at Community Care Tasmania. We usually catch up about a couple of months, and we've got Susan on the line. Good morning. How are you? Good to catch up with you once again.
Good morning, Scarbo. Yes, good to talk. It's gone quickly the last couple of months.
It has, hasn't it? Yes, and there's a lot of water under the bridge, if you'll pardon the pun as well. Yes. You guys weren't affected by the rain at all?
No, we weren't. I mean, there's bits of Launceston that have been, which is where I am.
Yes.
Because they mightn't realise that, because our head office, the Community Care Tasmania, is in Launceston.
Yep.
Although we do have one in Burnie as well. So certainly, and we've got a lot of staff on the northwest coast, and we certainly have had staff who've been affected.
Okay.
Depending on where they live, of course.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Mind you, the state looks magnificent. I was in Hobart yesterday, and the drive down, gosh, the country looks fabulous.
Yes, that's the one positive. It would look, you know, it would look all green and things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No. We'll pass on our best regards to those team members. Now, you want to have a chat today about some programs that have been sort of highlighted on television that are targeting elderly people.
Well, yeah, I found it really interesting in the last little while that there's been a number of, three programs I wanted to just mention, and maybe listeners have seen them, and you can certainly watch them on catch-up TV anyway, because that's two of them, well, they're all Australian programs. One is the Old People's Home for Teenagers, which is the, you know, it's been modelled on that Old People's Home for 4-year-olds. There were two series of that, which was very, very successful. And then the ABC decided to do this particular version, which, as I said, was Old People's Home for Teenagers, because they realised through COVID the demographic that was probably most impacted with lockdowns and social isolation has been teenagers.
Okay.
So although the 4-year-old model for that program actually came, I think, from Britain originally, the teenager model that we've done now is an Australian first. I mean, it's been created here and done by Australia. So I don't know if people have seen that, but it's been a really interesting show to watch how those two different age groups, teenagers and older people, have supported each other post-COVID, but of course we're not post-COVID, but, you know, coming out of all of the...
Yeah, of the latest pandemic. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And because loneliness is a huge, huge issue for a lot of older people as well as teenagers.
Yeah.
I've got some really interesting statistics. You want me to tell you
about
that?
Okay, yeah, tell me about the statistics, yep.
Well, and these actually were pre-pandemic, some of these statistics. I did a little bit of a research on this to see what the story was. And it basically says that in America, this was anyway, that most digitally connected teenagers and young adults, their loneliness has doubled. The prevalence of loneliness has doubled between 2012 and 2018, coinciding with the explosion of social media use.
Yes.
I think that's a real irony, that thing of that, you know, we're supposedly so connected now because of all our devices, but in fact, many people are more isolated and lonely as a result of it. And in fact, this is 2019, bear that in mind, pre-pandemic, in Japan, it was reported that more than 500,000 people under 40 had not left their house or interacted with anyone.
Wow. And, of course, they'll struggle outdoors as well when they go and meet people as a result, because their people skills, their social skills, are pretty much non-existent.
Well, that's right. So that's what this program was probably building on, you know, that there was this, teenagers, because they've got all of this social media stuff available to them, but it's now become this kind of prison cell, because that's where they're caught with it. Anyway, and again, another stat which I found extraordinary, and this is 2018, again pre-pandemic, that in England the loneliness was identified as such a critical problem that the British government appointed a Minister of Loneliness.
Oh, right.
No.
Goodness me.
And they even set up, in one town, set up a happy to chat bench, you know, in a park saying,
sit
down here if you don't mind someone stopping to say hello, etc., so that people could engage in conversations knowing that it would be welcome. And apparently that idea of the chat bench has been picked up in lots of, all over Britain and in other parts of Europe.
Yeah.
Which I think was interesting. So I thought if people hadn't seen that program, they might want to watch it, and they might just think about the impact of loneliness, not just for older people, where sure. that's often an issue where there's mobility issues and various other things, but that those cross-generational exchanges can yeah. be incredibly valuable.
Well, it's interesting that they compare the two. That just sort of brings to mind, say, 30 years ago, probably the carers around, I'm not sure whether you'll back me up on this, but I'll put the statement forward. 30 years ago, it was more middle-aged 50-year-olds that were in were caring for people in need, like the elderly, whereas now I've certainly observed that in the last decade or so, I guess, there's more young people that are now yes. in carer roles. Is that correct?
Yep, that would be accurate, because a lot of those older workers are now retired
yeah.
or, you know, are finding it too physically demanding to do the hours, etc. So a lot of younger people do it. And a lot of people who are new to Australia, you know, so coming from other countries do it because they're not around grandparents themselves. So they really like that exchange. Like they, a lot of them come from countries where, you know, having respect for older people is really important, and having that interaction with them is important,
yes.
and it's not something that is really that visible or connected in Australia as much with our older generation. We, a lot of us, park our older folk in aged care homes and think, well, they're taken care of, that's sorted, and move on with their lives. And, you know, taking care of someone's physical well-being is,
oh, yeah.
is fine and dandy, but that emotional
yeah.
support, I mean, I think the stats, again, for people who live alone, and they're, you know, the stats for people dying if you live alone are a lot higher than if you're in a couple or live in a household of people or
yeah.
have lots of social connections, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, and some people can live with other people and be extremely lonely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I know a lot of elderly feel alone and that's and lonely, and that can just be the role that the carer plays, to just for somebody to talk to. They don't have to be doing a, you know, chores or anything like that, I guess, but it's just somebody to talk to. And
yeah.
I can imagine that the elderly would relate really well. They love the young people to be there alongside them.
Well, I think that, you, again, you know, if there's something I've always thought you could bottle in old age, or, you know, for older people to have as a thing, is if they've got something to contribute, you know, a story
sure.
to tell, an exchange, a skill that they just take for granted, because, you know, they were always, you know, older people tend to be pretty hands-on about a lot of things, because you've had to have been.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's lots of things like that where there is a really wonderful exchange. And as you said, yeah, sometimes the people that our staff visit, they might be the only people visiting in a day or even in a week. And so they become very, very important.
Yes.
So now moving on to my next one.
Yes, sorry.
well, because it's spring and I'm feeling very, very sluggish after a winter.
Oh, right. So yeah, that's understandable.
yeah, so I'm kind of just going to raise the use it or lose it thing, you know, about getting people...
Yep.
reminding people to how important it is to get active, and now that the weather is improving for the most part, to do that. And there was another program. This was a Catalyst special, which was a two-part thing, which was called Keep On Dancing.
Right.
And I love to dance, I have to say. And I don't know, do you have dance? Is there any dance studios in Queenstown? Or down
not
in the
studios, program? But we do have regular... In fact, there's one. There's a dancing community dancing event coming up at the end of the month, actually. And it's kind of on the same lines as what you're talking about.
Well, this program, as I said, it was two parts. And it was... how many of them were there? There were... participants were over 65,
mm-hmm.
and the idea was to say, or, you know, demonstrate and see how dancing can improve fitness, balance, memory, mood and cognition, those
yep.
sorts of things. So they didn't have any dancing experience, and the idea was that they would practice together to do a performance at the end of 12
okay.
weeks to their friends and family. And they had varying issues with health, and so someone had Parkinson's, another had Alzheimer's, et cetera, et cetera. But it was extraordinary. There was one man who was 67 years old, and he has neuropathy. So he's got nerve damage in his leg. So He's actually had no feeling in his legs, really, a long time.
Yep.
And he started to feel again from dancing, which was pretty extraordinary.
I'll tell you a story in a minute, actually, that relates to that.
Okay, and there was another woman who was living with Alzheimer's, and she actually, the physical test, you know, like doing the choreographed dance routines, actually improved her ability to think quicker. And so there's been incredible positive outcomes with this little experiment, you know, for those people who took part in it. And I'm sure for anyone who wants to kick up their heels, you might find, even if you can only shuffle around the floor to begin with, or for the entire time, it won't matter. I think you'll find enormous benefit from it.
Yep.
What were you going to tell me?
Well, Tony Bennett, the American singer. Now, I think he's diagnosed. He has either Alzheimer's or dementia, and he's been doing shows with Lady Gaga. And he does, you know, he's at home. He doesn't remember anything. He doesn't even remember that he's a singer. And then he starts, he rehearses, and he just switches on and starts singing all the songs and that sort of thing. And while he was rehearsing with Lady Gaga, didn't recognise her at all. It came on stage doing the show, and he came on all surprised and said, "Oh, look, it's Lady Gaga." And that was such a special moment. The only sad thing was the next day he couldn't remember it, you know. But obviously, it creates that wonderful positive emotion. Music, singing, obviously, in his case.
Singing is an extraordinary thing, actually. And I know exactly what because Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett were great friends.
Yes.
So they had a friendship long before his Alzheimer's whatever form of dementia he has took place. But and how fantastic was he? Because I saw that concert. He's a fantastic singer. I'm a great fan of Tony Bennett. And his duets in particular with, you know, from Lady Gaga to Amy Winehouse to Anna Kroll, you know, he's got some fantastic music out. And, he remembered every word, how to deliver, like he was the showman again. And, that didn't diminish. So even if it was for the moment, he had that. And importantly, his audience had that as
exactly. I thought I'd share that with you this morning because that just relates. I'll always remember that story. That's fantastic. All right.
Yeah, you can watch that on YouTube, actually.
Yeah. Oh, I have. Yeah. No, I did see it because when I heard about it, I said, I've got to see this. And it was, it's sort of, you shed a tear with that sort of stuff, actually. But any news as far as the West Coast is concerned?
Well, we're still operating, obviously, down there. Where Jenny's busily beaving. Our case manager, who's located on the coast, down on the west coast there, is out and about. So please contact her contact us at the office here, and I'll give the number, 1300 722 400, if you want to talk to any of our staff and talk to Jenny down on the coast, or anyone travelling up to the northwest coast. Our office at 83 Mount Street is operating in Burnie, and we now have an admin person there all the time.
Ah, good.
So before, when we just had our case manager there, that was a bit tricky because she was in and out.
Mm.
But now we've got someone there all the time, so the office is open all the time. So that's terrific. And again, the number to ring is that 1300 722 400. You might even get put straight through to Kelly in the office there. She picks up as well and deals with it like she's part of this, you know, we're all linked, of course. So, so please contact Community Care Tasmania if you've got any issues, concerns, or just some queries about the aged care system or NDIS, if we also have NDIS clients, of course. But other than that, give a thought to your neighbours, your community. Think who might be lonely, who might really, really value and benefit from having a hello said to them and having that social connection.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you've got a dance thing happening down there, I'd be getting the films along to it.
Absolutely. No, well said. All right, Susan. Well, thank you very much. Always great to catch up with you. We've got one to go. We're catching up again on the 14th of December before Christmas. So till then, all the best to you and your team, and we'll catch you then.
Okay. Good luck to everyone on the coast.
Thank you, Susan. There we go. That's Susan Aikett, Special Programs Coordinator for Community Care Tasmania, joining us this morning on 7XS.